It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In 1 Peter chapter 3, we've looked at duties as wives and husbands, and we've also looked at our duties as brethren. Now we want to look at duties for righteousness' sake. This, of course, is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 22. And the first thing I would look at here are verses 13 through 17. It says there in verse 13, "And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that, whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ," or in other words, your good behavior. "For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." Well, what we're seeing here is something that is really hard to understand. Sometimes as a Christian, and we let the human being in us overtake this thought sometimes, the thoughts that we've read here, that it seems to be teaching us that we're to rejoice when something goes wrong in our lives. Well, I believe that as a human being, when something happens to me, it bothers me. But then I stop to think, if I'm doing good and something bad happens, if someone accuses me of something and I've been doing good, then I don't have to worry about it. I just turn it over to the Lord, because it says, "Happy are ye." I could be happy at that point. When something goes wrong in my life, I can turn it over to the Lord. And that doesn't mean that if I can do something to correct something that has happened, it doesn't mean that I shouldn't try to correct it. It simply means that if someone has done something to me and said something wrong about me, I need to forgive that person and realize that in the sight of God, I've done right. And I don't have to worry about it, because in the sight of God, I am pure through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying that in this flesh we don't do things wrong, but the Bible here is teaching us that we need to do things right as Christians. And verse 13, I believe, is saying, "Who can harm you if you do good? If you do good and they say evil things about you," remember, they said all types of evil things about our Lord. We've talked about that before, but yet he was without sin and he loved the people, even those who said things about him that were untrue. In verse 14, it talks about righteousness suffering, or righteous suffering. In 1 Peter 4:16, it says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Righteous suffering brings blessing, according to the Scripture. We think a lot about the persecuted church, and the persecuted church is any church throughout this world that stands upon the Word of God, that preaches Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and resurrected. The persecuted church is any church that stands for God, or Jesus Christ, who is going through a difficult time. The government tries to shut down the church. People are beaten. People are killed. Now, prayerfully, that hasn't happened in our country yet. Well, anywhere the church is being maligned and persecuted is, it's what it's talking about here. That is the persecuted church. And it says, "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Now, we're not to hang our heads in shame if we're being persecuted for Christ's sake, but we're to lift up our heads, glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid of threats, the Bible is teaching us here. In verse 15, the first part of that verse is talking about sanctification. Sanctify, or extol, lift the Lord up. Set him apart. Let people see the Lord in your life instead of seeing you. And then we see in verse 15, the rest of that verse, it says, be prepared. For what? To give an answer. Of what? The gospel. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15, the Bible says we are to do this. And it says, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're to have ourselves ready to give an answer to those people who say, well, who are you? What do you stand for? We need to be able to say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe He was crucified, buried, and resurrected for me. And then you can continue on and say, and by the way, He died for you. If you will accept Him as your Savior, He's ready to save you. And when this life is over, you can go to heaven the way I'm going to heaven. Well, that is a witness for the Lord. Your testimony is seen in verse 16. Your testimony, your conversation, is the defense against false accusers. Well, they may say all kinds of bad things about you, but just as Christ stood before Pilate, He said, I find no fault in this man. Pilate said that about Jesus. They couldn't find anything wrong with Christ. Why? Because He was righteous. He did no sin. Well, it's true that we're in this human body, and we as humans, and there are times when sin creeps into our lives. But once again, we're to rise above that as much as possible and let the Lord be seen through our lives. And when you do good, people will still say bad things about you, but don't worry about that. Keep going on for the Lord. Don't give up. As we have a good conversation, in other words, testimony, the Bible is teaching here a good testimony to the world. This helps us to maintain a good conscience, that when others may defame us as evildoers, we still have that good conscience of knowing that we've done what is right. And those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. In other words, they can be made ashamed, not simply of you using words to cause them to be ashamed, but it's your life in Jesus Christ that will cause them to be ashamed. Now, verse 17 goes on to say that suffering for the will of God is better than suffering for doing evil. We're to remember these things. We're to remember that people will say bad things about us as Christians, and if you've been saved for any length of time, you know that that is true. I don't have to tell you these things, and neither does the Bible, but the Bible needs to tell us and remind us of that. When people say evil things about us as Christians, we need to love that person and help that person as much as possible. And as long as you're doing good for the Lord, don't worry about it. Let God take care of it. Well, then, we are also to remember Christ, according to verses 18 through 22 of 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, starting with verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also He went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the longsuffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Now it says there, now let me stop here just a moment, it says there it's teaching us it doesn't save you, according not to putting away the filth of the flesh. And it goes on to say, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. Well, verse 18, first of all, is teaching that Christ died. He suffered. And he only did this once. He's not going to do it again. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27 says, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice? In other words, He's not going to do it again. And it goes on to say this. Now, let me start over here again in verse 27 of Hebrews chapter 7. Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice for his own sins? Now, the priest, a priest would go in and offer up sacrifice for sin for himself first. And it says there, and then for the people's. The people's sin. This was a priest of the Old Testament. The Jewish priest would go in and offer up sacrifice for himself for his sins, and then he would offer up sacrifice for the people. And it says, for this he did once when he offered up himself. Well, Christ offered up himself. He was the high priest who offered up himself for our sins. In other words, let's look at it again. The high priest of old would go in and he would first have to offer up sacrifice for himself. But Christ didn't have to do that because he was sinless. And then the priest would go in and offer up a sacrifice for the sins of the people. And he would have to do this often. But it teaches there in Hebrews 7:27 that Christ only did it once. In other words, he went in and offered up his blood for the sins of people. He did it once. And that verse says, when he offered up himself. Remember, he was sinless. We are in the sinful flesh. We have sinful flesh, so Christ had to be a priest for us who first offered up his blood. He offered himself. He offered his blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Christ died. He suffered. And he only did it once. He's not going to do it again. You're saved once. You're saved and you're safe within the Lord Jesus Christ. We also see there in verse 18 that he is alive by the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 32, it says, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. And in Acts chapter 10 and verse 40, it says, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, it says, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. He's alive by the Holy Spirit. It's by the Spirit of God that Jesus Christ was raised. And we also see and read in those verses that just as he was raised up, we will be raised one day as well. Now, it's not teaching that when a person dies in the Lord that they simply sleep. It's speaking here of the physical body. I don't know how it's going to take place. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I believe the Bible, and I know that the Bible says that we are going to be raised incorruptible. We're going to have a new body fashioned like that of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're not sleeping when we go to be with the Lord. When we go into the grave, we are not going to be sleeping. In fact, we're not going into the grave. That's this old sinful body that goes. We go to be with the Lord. Now, if I were to die right now, I'd go into the presence of the Lord. Paul said to be absent from the body, and he knew that to be absent from the body, that he would be present with the Lord. So, the real person, not the body at the time of death, goes to be with the Lord. The real person goes to be with the Lord, not the body. That body one day will be raised incorruptible. What about those people who were cremated? Those people who are in the ocean? Some people come up with all kinds of questions like that, and I don't know how the Lord's going to do it, but the Bible says we're going to have a new body. It's going to be fashioned like His. People will know us as we are known here on this earth. How's it going to happen? I don't know how the Lord's going to do it. I don't know everything about what's going to take place, how it's going to take place. I'm not God. If I knew all the answers, I would be God. Thank God that He is God and He has the answers.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.